Psalm chapter 25. Pretty simple, basic message that I'd like to bring you tonight, but very important. And so let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we pray tonight that this would not be wasted time, but this would be fruitful time. Lord, and that requires that we give you our attention. May we all here tonight have ears ready to hear, hearts ready to receive. Lord, I pray that you would plant good seed in the hearts of your people tonight, that it might bear fruit for the rest of our lives as we serve you here in this lifetime. Lord, I pray for all of your people tonight, Lord, that we would have such beautiful relationships with you. Living, vibrant, dynamic relationships with you. Healthy, fruitful, exciting. Speak to us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I only want to cover two psalms tonight. Two subjects. Two very important subjects, I believe, for us as Christians. First, I want to speak tonight of a very important discipline that all of us as Christians should maintain in our lives as Christians. And then secondly, I want to speak of a very important mindset or attitude that all of us as Christians should maintain in living the Christian life. And first, let's talk about the discipline. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I am convinced that the quiet time is the most important discipline that we should maintain in our lives as Christians. I believe the quiet time is a discipline that should never go away. Whether you've been a Christian for 5 days or 65 years, we should all maintain quiet times with the Lord. Consistently, daily, preferably in the morning, to begin every single day. Now, for those of you who don't know what a quiet time is, Christians talk about quiet times. A quiet time is a time in your life as a Christian where you set aside time, you get away from the world, you get away from the distractions, you certainly put up the cell phone, you turn off the TV, you get rid of all of that, and as a Christian, you get alone with God. You spend time with Him. And you know, we call it a quiet time, but it's really not quiet. Communication's taking place. In your time alone with the Lord, you're speaking to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord is speaking to you by His Spirit and in His Word. I believe it's key. That discipline in our life is so important. I believe it's from that time in your alone time spent with the Lord. That's where you get power. That's where you get joy. That's where you get peace. That's where the Christian life is exciting. And I will tell you, I've been a Christian for many years, and I can look back over my life as a Christian, and I can remember those periods in my life where I was diligent in having a quiet time. And you know what? I grew. And then I can also look back on some periods in my life when I neglected the quiet time. And those were rocky times. So important. Psalm 25 is a psalm of the quiet time. In fact, reading Psalm 25 is sort of like sitting in on one of King David's quiet times. And so it serves as a great example for us and a great model of what needs to take place in a quiet time. So let's pretend this night, tonight, that it's very early in the morning. We've just all woken up with King David. He's settled into his nice little chair. Maybe he has a cup of coffee, if they had coffee back then. He's got his Bible on his lap, and he begins a quiet time. Verse 1, Psalm 25, he says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. It's almost like David reaches inside his body, grabs his soul out, and lifts it to God in sweet surrender. And he says, "Lord, here's my soul. Here's my life. I place my life and my soul in your protective care this day. My life is yours this day. I am surrendered to you this day." What a beautiful way to start a quiet time. What a beautiful way to start a day. And I want you to know that that is the very spirit, the very heart, the very prayer that you should bring to your quiet times with the Lord. Get up in the morning, get alone with God, and say, "Here's my soul. Here's my life. I'm yours." It's a resurrendering of your life to the Lord. In verse 3, he says, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed." Think of a quiet time in that way. A quiet time is a waiting upon the Lord. It's that time that you carve out of your life where you sit down, you get alone with God, and you literally, you wait upon him. You never rush a quiet time. And the idea is, my brother and sister in Christ, what you're saying to God is, you get up and you can even say to him, "Man, I got a crazy day today. I got a busy, crazy, full of activity life. I got so much going on today. But Lord, you're so important to me that I'm going to take some time to wait on you." To resurrender my life to you. "Lord, I need you. I need to be connected with you." I want you to think of your quiet time, that alone time with the Lord. Think of it, that is really a wonderful, practical, daily way to surrender your life to the Lord every day. It's saying, "You're the master, I'm the servant." See that time like that. In verse 4, David continues, he goes, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." So see him pouring out his heart to the Lord. And he says, "Lord, here I am. Teach me. Show me your ways. Lead me in the path of life. Instruct me. Counsel me. I'm here and I'm listening. Speak, Lord, to me." Oh, that's so important, my friends. In a quiet time with the Lord, it's this most beautiful time in your day, because at that moment, you're giving the Lord himself an opportunity to teach you. to speak to you, to show wonderful things to you. Now, we know that the Lord primarily speaks to us today through His Word, through the Bible. So obviously, in a quiet time, Bible reading is a very, very important part of the quiet time. In your quiet time, you should be reading through the Scripture. And I do recommend reading through the Bible in a systematic way, using a plan. I do not recommend biblical roulette. Have you ever done that? You can get in a lot of trouble just doing that. Read through the Bible in a systematic way. Have a plan. There are a lot of plans that you can find. There are many plans that help you to read through the Bible in a year. And you can find Bibles, and they've partitioned the Scripture so that on January 1, you start with Genesis 1, and at December 31st, you're at the last chapter in Revelation. And that's one way to do it. I want to share with you the way I've been doing it, and my wife's been doing it, and our family have been doing it for years now. I do a daily Bible, and I have the New King James Version daily Bible. And you can find other versions as well, NIV or NASB. And what this book does, what this Bible does, is it gives you a portion to read each day from the Old Testament, and then a portion to read from the New Testament, and then some from the Psalms, and then some from the Proverbs. So every day, you're getting information from different sections of the Scripture, and by the end of the year, you've read through the whole Bible. That is a blessing to me. I really like the way this is done. My only gripe about this is that the print's way too small for me, but that's my age now. Get a plan. But listen, before you begin to read the Scripture, pray this prayer. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me. Read the Bible prayerfully. Come to the Scripture in your quiet times with that humble, teachable heart. Lord, show me, teach me, instruct me. And just another word about quiet time Bible reading. That's not the time to do Greek word analysis. Or Hebrew word analysis. That's not the time to pull out somebody's commentary on the Scripture. You let the Holy Spirit be your commentary. That's not the time to open up the Bible dictionaries and learn all the culture. Just sit down and read it. Read it devotionally. Lord, speak. And you know what? The Lord will speak to you. The Lord will teach you. The Lord will instruct you. The Lord will implant a thought or an idea in your mind that you'll meditate on for the rest of the day. You'll grow. I have found that many times the Lord will give me a scripture or a verse that I'll be able to use sometime during the day. And that's really cool. I can remember years ago when I was first starting my quiet times, I read the scripture that says a gentle answer turns away wrath. And I thought, man, what a cool verse. I hope I can try it today. And I went out and I was looking for people to get mad at me all day. Just waiting for somebody to, so I could give a gentle response. And nothing happened at work. But the opportunity came when I left work. I pulled out of the driveway at work, and there was this kind of a sharp corner, and I pulled right out and cut off a man who was flying around that corner. And we got to the light, and this man went berserk. He was halfway hanging out of his window. He was cussing. He was yelling. It was road rage. I think he was frothing at the mouth. All these obscene gestures. And I rolled down my window, and I go, hello. I'm sorry that I cut you off. I really didn't mean to. But you know, you were going a little quick around that corner, don't you think? And his eyes sort of went cartoon-like. Boing. It worked. He goes, yeah, you're right, man. It's cool. When you are reading God's word, you will live God's word that day. You will meet with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with him will be real. David goes on in verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it's great. What's David doing here? He's confessing, isn't he? He's admitting to the Lord that he is a sinner who needs forgiveness and mercy from the Lord. David here is confessing his sin. And I want you to understand that that is a very important part of a daily quiet time. Confession and repentance. Coming to the Lord, asking him to forgive you of those sins in your life. Now, as Christians, and I've told you this before, when you pray the prayer of salvation and you receive Christ, all of your sins are forgiven, right? You become a child of God. You are born again. But as Christians, we drop the ball, don't we? We still sin. We still say ugly things. We make mistakes. And as a Christian, when you sin, what that does is it sort of blocks your fellowship with God. It blocks the channels of his power and his presence and his joy in your life. And the Bible, the New Testament, tells us to get that restored. You come before him and you confess. You admit. You come to God as your Father and you say, man, I messed up. Please forgive me. And the Bible says that he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and that fellowship is restored. And let me tell you, when you're doing that on a day-by-day consistent basis, there's a fellowship that you enjoy with the Lord. There's a consistent power. So important. I have found in my quiet times, you know, you're sitting before the Lord, you're recognizing his holiness, you're reading his word, and there are times when the Holy Spirit will point something out in my life. Terry, this is an issue in your life. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is always so gentle. And there have been times in my life where the Holy Spirit said, you know what you said to that person yesterday wasn't very nice. Today you need to pick up the phone and you need to call that person and you need to ask for forgiveness. Or, you know, Terry, the way you treated your kids the other day wasn't all that stellar. Or what you said to your wife wasn't very nice. Or that sloppy job that you did at work. And it's good to have him point those things out in our lives. You know, in that quiet time when it's almost like a daily spiritual inventory that you get to take. And it's beautiful. And when you're going through that process on a day-by-day basis, man, and you're spending that time with the Lord, think about how sensitive you're going to be to the Lord for the rest of your day. Now you just grow. Verse 12. He says, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Two times David uses the word fear. Verse 12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Fearing the Lord is reverencing the Lord. It's giving honor to the Lord. It's giving respect to the Lord. It's ascribing glory to the Lord. Fearing the Lord is when you acknowledge to God that he sits on the seat of authority. And that you are accountable to him, you are respecting him, you are worshiping him, and you are wanting to live a life of obedience. That is fearing the Lord. And it's worship. It's an aspect of worship. Worshiping the Lord. There has to be an element of fear in your quiet time. Have you ever thought about a quiet time where you fear the Lord? Do you take time to fear the Lord? And what I mean by that is, do you give him reverence? Do you worship him? You remember Jesus taught us to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said the first thing, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy are you, Lord. Glorious are you. I fear you. I adore you. I worship you. Take time to just simply worship the Lord during your quiet time. Worship him. Now, if you don't know how to play a guitar or have a lousy voice, don't worry about it. You can worship the Lord with your words. Spend that time. Do you spend that time in your quiet time? Lord, you're amazing. You're incredible. Now, the Bible teaches that there are special blessings for those who fear the Lord, not only in their quiet time, but in the way they live their lives. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Then fear the Lord. Be a worshiper of God. Have you ever wondered why some younger Christians seem to be wise beyond their years, wise beyond their experience? It's probably because they fear the Lord. Look what David says here, verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. If you are a man of God, if you are a woman of God who fears the Lord and worships the Lord, he will teach you specifically in the specific way that he has chosen for your life. You think about that. Verse 13, he says, he himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. You fear the Lord, he's going to lead you in the way of prosperity. He'll take care of your family. Verse 14, I think, is a golden nugget verse. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Listen. If you take that time in your life, in your day, to spend time with God, and you fear him, and you're seeking him, and you want him, he will share secrets with you. You'll discover secret things. Not that he's going to give you any new doctrine and you go on and write a new book for the Bible. Not that. But listen carefully. A man of God, a woman of God like that, gets incredible insight from God into who God is, what He's doing, what He wants to do in and through your life, what He's doing in this generation. And there are wonderful examples of that in the Scripture. You remember Daniel, the prophet? There's a man who feared the Lord, didn't he? Prayer warrior. You can look like he had quiet times three times a day. Do you realize that God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams and to come up with prophecies concerning the generation in which he lived, used to speak to kings? How about Joseph? There's a man who feared the Lord. God gave him the ability to interpret dreams. How about John the Apostle? You know, it says of John that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. And we know that he's the one who laid his head on the shoulder of Jesus at the upper room. He was close to the Lord. And the Lord would use him later to give the revelation on the island of Patmos. David, would you question his wisdom? Look at the Psalms that he wrote. Look at the grasp of spiritual truth that he had. Do you want that? Be a worshiper. Fear the Lord. The benefits are too numerous to even point out. It's also important in a quiet time to ask personal requests. Petition the Lord. Go to the Lord with details about your life. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. He said, it's okay. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. Right? Jesus said, pray this prayer. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. It seems that David sort of just giving personal petitions as we continue. Verse 16, turn yourself to me, he's praying, and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain. Forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. Keep my soul. Deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. It is absolutely permissible to go to the Lord every morning with personal requests. You know, to go to the Lord with the problems in your life. You can see that David's having problems in his life. He's experiencing pain, affliction. He says, the troubles in my heart have become large. He says, my enemies hate me with a cruel hatred. He's struggling. And he brought all of those day-to-day struggles to the Lord. And so should we. I mean, you're a Christian man, Christian woman. You got a bill that needs to be paid. Thinking, how am I going to pay it? Have you asked God? I've got this stressful situation at work. I don't know. Ask God. I've got this difficult relationship thing happening. Lord, I'm not sure how to talk to this person. Ask the Lord. You have a God who cares about every detail of your life. Amen? Amen? Ask Him. Pour out your heart. Watch Him answer your prayers. So absolutely, that's a big part of quiet time. Now, here's the problem. A lot of Christians make their quiet time only about that. There are many Christians, they get up every morning and their quiet time is, gimme, 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 Lord, gimme this. Gimme that. I need this. I need help here. And again, that's okay. But listen, the quiet time isn't just about that. What about worshiping the Lord? What about surrender, taking that soul out? Here, Lord. What about confession? What about repentance? What about, Lord, I need instruction. I need to grow. Last verse. David finishes up his quiet time. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. How does he finish up this prayer? Praying for his nation. What's that called? Intercession. Again, another wonderful, important part of a quiet time where, you know, you've feared the Lord, you've thanked him, you've praised him, you've confessed, you've asked some personal requests, and then take some time to intercede for other people. And I mentioned earlier about how it's very good as Christians to have a Bible reading plan. It's also good to have a prayer plan. I know lots of Christians, they have, here's what I pray for on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, every day you pray for your immediate family members, your wife, your husband, your kids. Every day you pray for them. And then on other days, you're praying for your coworkers, you're praying for your friends. You're praying for your church. Just put in a pray for your pastor. Pray for your nation. Pray for your world. Pray for the salvation of souls. It's a very, very special time, this thing we call the quiet time. There's a lot that can go on in it. There's so much growth that comes from it. And I want to encourage you tonight, with all that I have, to have them. And I don't want it to become this legalistic thing. I don't want you to say, well, my quiet time is this religious activity, and when I get it done, I'm going to check that off the list. It shouldn't be that way. Look, you get to hang out with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, I mentioned a lot of things that can take place in a quiet time. Don't feel like you have to do all of those things every quiet time. And maybe there's a day where you miss a day in your Bible reading. Don't freak out. And also, don't try to make up 2 days the next day. Just pick up where you left or get back on track. Don't let it be a legalistic thing. The idea is, enjoy your Lord. He enjoys you. He loves you. Got so many plans for us. There's a story about, and this is years ago before there were cell phones, a foreigner came to the United States. He had a speaking engagement. And he was out on the streets and he needed to make a phone call. And so he found a telephone booth. Remember those? And the telephone booth didn't work the way it did in his country. And it was getting night, so he was in this telephone booth, and he couldn't read the directory because it was getting really dark. And then he looked up at the top, and he noticed that there was a light, but it wasn't on. And he didn't realize that the light was connected to the door, right? When you shut the door, the light turns on. And a passerby told him that. And so he shut the door, and, oh, the light's on. Was able to read the directory, found his number. In a real sense, that's what a quiet time is. A quiet time is when you get in your prayer closet and you shut the door to the world, to all of these other things. And I will tell you what, the light turns on. The joy turns on. The peace turns on. The power turns on. The growth turns on. Go for it. And I would recommend that you start tomorrow. Don't wait till New Year's Day. Don't make it a New Year's resolution. You're just destined to fail if you do that, right? Start tomorrow. I don't have a Bible through the Bible. That's all right. Start reading the Gospel of John. Start reading the Psalms. Start pouring your heart out. Watch the Lord bless your life. Okay, now let's speak of a mindset or an attitude that we should be careful to maintain in our lives as Christians. And here it is. I believe that all of us as Christians should daily, regularly remember that we are a separate people, that we are a consecrated people, that we are set apart, that we are holy, that we are distinct, that we are unique. You need to always, if you're a Christian, you need to remember that. Because God has declared his people to be sanctified, set apart, consecrated, holy. God told his people in Leviticus chapter 20 in the Old Testament, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." You will be holy to me, God said to his people, because I have separated you from the peoples. And I am holy, and I've set you apart unto myself. We're told that as Christians in the New Testament. Jesus in John chapter 15 says to us, "I have chosen you out of the world to be my own." Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood. Paul the Apostle writes in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you are a Christian here tonight, remember, God has consecrated you. God has set you apart. And that's for every Christian. And as you remember that, as you remember that you're a consecrated person, you'll begin to behave like one. Never forget what God has done for you. Psalm 26 is David's prayer of consecration, separation. Read it with me. Verse 1. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." Now, there are some that criticize David, claiming that he's a little arrogant here, that he's talking a big game, that he's Mr. Spiritual and he's done everything. He says, "For I've walked in my integrity, I've trusted in the Lord, I have walked in your truth." I don't think David's being arrogant at all here. And David certainly isn't claiming sinless perfection. But David could look at his life and evaluate it realistically before the Lord, and was able to say, "Lord, I'm walking with you. I walk in integrity. I'm a separate person and I'm living a separated life." He's not bragging. He's not perfect. You know David makes lots of mistakes. But at this particular time in his life, he could say, "You know, I'm walking with you." So important, my brother and sister in Christ, as Christians, God has made us separate. He's consecrated us. And it is so important that we separate ourselves from sin. That we separate ourselves from a sinful lifestyle. That we seek with all that we can to walk in holiness, to walk a life that pleases the Lord. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. If you got a born-again Christian and he's out there, you know, partying, chasing women, lying, stealing, gossiping, walking in sin, that can't be. You need to be committed to walking a life of holiness. You're never going to be perfect, but you need to have that seriousness about that. And here's why. Because you're separated. Because God has separated you. He's consecrated you. My dad, I'm very proud of him. He went to West Point. He's a West Point grad. And it takes a special person to go to West Point. And he went there and he graduated. And he's told me lots of stories about his experience at West Point. And one of the things that he's shared with me many times is about this honor system that they have at West Point. At West Point, if you're a student there, you are on the honor system. That means nobody's, teachers aren't trying to bust you or anything. You're on the honor system. You're not supposed to cheat, so you won't cheat. And because you're on the honor system, if anybody else is cheating, you'll tell on your peers. It's the honor system. And the explanation they're given is you will operate on an honor system because you go to West Point. And honorable people go to West Point. Hopefully. It's a whole different level. It's a way of thinking. Never forget that God has chosen you and separated you out. Live that way. Be consecrated. Verse 4, David says, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Now here's David saying, I have separated myself from sinners. I have separated myself from evil, wicked people. He says, I've not sat with idolatrous mortals and I will not sit with the wicked. In those days when you sat down to have a meal with someone, it was entering into an approving fellowship with that person. It was being joined to the hip with that person. And David says, I will never, ever enter into any approving fellowship with sinners. It's very strong. He says, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I will not partner with hypocrites. I will not become best buddies and best friends with the wicked. I have hated the assembly of evil doers. I won't sit with the evil doers. Maybe some of you saw this last week. Did you hear that some of the biggest mega churches that are springing up all over the planet right now are called atheist mega churches? Don't go to those congregations. Don't sit with evil doers. Don't join into fellowship with hypocrites. If you are separated, if God has chosen you out of the world, and He has, listen, it may hurt, but you need to separate yourself from sinners. There may be people in your life that you have absolutely no business whatsoever hanging with. Your best friends should be brothers and sisters in Christ. Your partner should be with them. Now, let's bring balance. Does that mean we check out of the world? Does that mean we treat every non-believer like they have cooties? Oh no, don't touch! Run away! Absolutely not. We still interact, but it's a whole different purpose. Your interaction with non-believers is to be a witness to them. To share the gospel with them. to live a holy life around them, to be salt and light. But listen very carefully, my brother and sister in Christ. You reserve your closest relationships and friendships to be with people who have your faith. And will raise you up and encourage you in the faith. He says, I have not sat with them. I will not sit with the wicked. Now, so far, consecration, things that you avoid. You separate yourself from sin. You separate yourself from this intimate companionship with sinners. Well, there's also a positive element to consecration. David says in verse 6, I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Look what David is doing. David is going to the altar. David is hanging out in the house of the Lord. David is giving words of thanksgiving. David is speaking of the marvelous works of the Lord. Consecrated life to the Lord, my brother and sister in Christ, is more than just saying, I can't sin and I can't be with sinners. It's also about being proactively, aggressively seeking the things of the Lord. Amen? Serving the Lord. Spending time at church. Serving in the church. Going for that quiet time. Committing to fill your mind with good things rather than bad things. And sharing your faith with others. Declaring the wondrous works of God wherever you go. See, you can't live in a vacuum. You can't live a neutral life. A lot of people try, but you don't. You slip to one side or the other. Aggressively follow the Lord. Replace bad activities with good activities. Replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. Replace bad influences in your life with good influences. Paul speaks of, in the New Testament, people that he had shared the gospel with, and before they had gotten saved, they were thieves. And I think it's Ephesians. He tells the people, look, before you came to Christ, you were a thief. Now that you are a Christian, go get a job. And earn money so that with that money, you'll be able to give to others. Do you see the replacement? Here I once was a thief. Now I'm a worker. Now I'm making money, not to just take care of myself, but so that I can freely give to other people. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what the Lord wants? The separated life also has many benefits. Up at the end of verse 1, David says, I shall not slip. When you're living a consecrated life, your feet are sure. Verse 9, he says, do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men in whose hands is a sinister scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. You know, if you separate yourself from the wicked, you will also separate yourself from the judgment that the wicked will experience. But as for me, verse 11, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. The consecrated life unto God gives you sure footing. It keeps you safe. It helps you come into the congregation with your brothers and sisters in Christ and bless the Lord freely. Let's remember that. Let's remember what God has done. So two challenges tonight. Keep that quiet time. Remember that mindset. And by the way, they both go together pretty good, don't they? I mean, if you commit to have a quiet time, that's going to make you more consecrated. And the more consecrated you are, the more you're going to want to have a quiet time. And you just grow and continue. And remember that Paul even said, you know, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you keep from being conformed to this world? By being transformed in your mind. And how do you get your mind transformed? Through the reading of the Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit. So my brother and sister in Christ, I challenge you. And again, I don't want it to be a legalistic thing whatsoever. We need Him, don't we? We need Him. You know, it may be that some here tonight wouldn't be all that confident about whether they were a part of the family of God. You know, I might even ask you tonight, are you one of God's holy ones? Have you been consecrated? Have you been separated? Do you know for sure? You might be here tonight and you think, well, how could I become one of God's special, unique people on the planet? Very simple. You have to be born into it. You have to be born into the family of God. You have to experience a second birth. You have to become born again. You do not become one of God's holy people by running around trying to act holy. You'll never get there. Your first step is to admit that you're a sinner and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, He washes away all of those sins. You become born again. He chooses you out of the world. You become His unique person. He fills you with His Spirit. He helps you to walk the rest of your days in a way that pleases Him. But it all begins by giving your life to Christ, asking Him to be your Savior. Why don't we bow our heads? Father, as your people, give us a strong desire to have that personal one-on-one time with you. Lord, we are blown away to think that you have time for us individually. I pray, Lord, that we would grow like crazy. Realizing this evening that the secret to growth is just spending time with you. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray for those of your people tonight who it's been many, many days since they've sat down with you. And they feel it. Bring them back. I pray, Lord, that our quiet times with you would be wonderful. And Lord, we're so grateful for choosing us out of the world. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would live truly different, unique lives, holy lives. And then I want to pray, Lord, for anyone here tonight who is not truly received you. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, understand that you need to receive Him. Nobody else can do that for you. You've got to do it. That's how your sins get forgiven. So I would invite you this evening to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, make me your own. Lord Jesus, place me in your family. Be my Savior. I admit my sin. I admit that I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying the price for my sins. Be the God of my salvation. Let's all stand together.